You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. Everyone who practices righteousness is the title of this devotion. It is absolutely the Christian nature and character that we not only begin to love living right in God's sight, as the love of Christ compels us to not live to please ourselves, but to live to please our loving Heavenly Father. We love Him because He loved us first, and it becomes a compelling force of Christ's life in us to love the Father, to want to please Him, that there's nothing in us that wants to grieve His Spirit or vex it or sadden it. No, my friends, but everything inside of us lives to love our Father, to please Him. Jesus said, "The Father is always with me because I always do those things that please Him." He said, "My meat, my satisfaction, my fulfillment is to do the will of my Father. For this purpose I've come into the world, to do the will of my Father." It is the true Christian spirit to love righteousness and to love being righteous in God's sight, to love being right in His sight. David said, "The wicked have their reward," in Psalm 17, verse 15, "for their belly is full of food, but my pleasure, my satisfaction, my fulfillment is to know all is well between me and the Father, and that I will see Him face to face," or "when I see Him face to face, all is well." It's beautiful scripture there in Psalm 17 of David. And friends, it is an absolute all-compelling nature of love to live holy. Holiness is the combination or the oneness of the Father's righteousness and love. It is the perfection of His righteousness and love that is holiness. And there is none holy, I agree, but we can all have Christ as our holiness, that we can be holy and without blame in the Father's love out of the rich treasury we receive in Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 4 says. And here in 1 John chapter 2 verse 29, it says, "If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of God." You know, you recognize the nature in people, the character, the mannerism, the way of talking. I so often meet people here and there and everywhere, and it is so obvious that they are children of God, because that nature of His righteousness is so transformed them and become one with them, that they act like Him, talk like Him, think like Him, behave like Him. And that is the true spirit of Christianity, dear friends. And I want to read you something from this Truth translation. It's just a New Testament, but I love this. And this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, here in the Truth translation. Listen to this. "The offering of Christ's blood accomplished so much more than the sacrifices in the Old Covenant," right? "In the power of God's eternal Spirit, He," Jesus, "offered Himself as a perfect sacrifice to God, making it possible for us to have an inner cleansing from all the sinful acts that lead to spiritual death. We can now have conscience clear of all guilt, and we're able to serve God as truly holy people. We can have an inner cleansing from the sinful acts that lead to spiritual death." Really, what the Holy Spirit shows you is that what the blood of bulls and goats could never eradicate was that inclination of the inner man to do what is contrary to God's righteousness, what is opposing to his righteousness, what contradicts it, what buffets it, what comes against it. And that nature, friends, we all have, every one of us in our flesh. But there is a power, the blood of the Lord Jesus, that can nullify its force, its control, its manipulating powers over our conscience, over our senses, over our thoughts, over our ways, over our inclinations. The inclination, motivation, is what the scripture says comes out of the kidneys where the dialysis takes place. And you can understand that the kidneys are continually cleansing the blood, removing the impurity so that the body can remain healthy. And the same is true for us. We need to live under that cleansing flood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, as the hymn so beautifully says. Friends, we need to live in that continual cleansing of the blood to be able to practice righteousness. All of us can have good intentions, but friends, an intention can be for a moment, but the ability to perform is not with us. Romans 7, Paul says, I want to do what's right that I know is in the law, but there is a nature in my flesh that won't let me do it, that the good I want to do, I don't, but the bad I don't want to do, I do. You see, friends, we all have this in the flesh. We can say, well, I promise I'll never do it again, but we fail. And the only way to become free from the nature of sin that expresses itself in the weakness of the flesh is by being continuously cleansed by that precious blood of the Lamb of God. And that he can, by that eternal spirit by which he offered himself without blemish to the Father, not only cleanse us, but impart that very nature by which he offered himself, that we may love the Father with the same love with which Christ loved the Father. This is, of course, the great covenant that he says, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And this is God's great covenant. We read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And in Matthew chapter 22, 37, verse 40, Jesus rehearses this. Friends, we need to live in that cleansing flood. What is the evidence that you are being cleansed inwardly by the blood? Yes, your conscience becomes clean that you can perceive God. But God is love, my friends. God is love. And you begin to perceive that nature of his love. I'll read to you here from, I'll just read it from this little Bible, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. I should read verse 8. For God is my witness, how I long for you and pursue you all with love, in the tender mercies of Christ Jesus himself. In other words, the love I feel for you comes straight from the heart of our Lord Jesus himself. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment, so that you may surely learn, listen now, to sense what is vital and approved and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, and that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, so that with heart sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. I want to encourage you to meditate on this. How do I know, my dear pastor, that my heart is being continuously cleansed by the blood, that I may be enabled to practice righteousness? I want to be able to practice. I don't want to just think about being right. I want to be right. I want to be right before God and before man. What does that look like? It's love perfected. It's having no charge against any man. It's believing the best about every man. It's having hopes that don't fade when the contradictions are so forceful, trying to get you to give up on each other, but that you have this faith that God is able to work the impossible. And you have this expectation to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, like David says in Psalm 27, verse 13. Wow, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Psalm 23, goodness and mercy shall follow me. James, in a paraphrase, in James 3:18, the wisdom that comes from our Heavenly Father is the continual flow of His goodness from our heart. And if I am good with His goodness and don't boast about it, then I'm truly wise. Having goodness for all is doing what's right in God's sight, is living righteousness, overcoming evil with good, not insisting on your own rights, not being rude or unmanly or vainglorious. No, humbly, sweetly laying down your life to serve, to be merciful, to be gracious, to forgive when they don't deserve, to bless when they don't deserve, to do good when they don't deserve. You don't base anything upon anything but the Father's love alone. That is doing righteousness. We do righteousness out of the righteousness we have with God in Christ Jesus. And out of that comes this compulsion to want to do what's right in His sight. You know, they did you wrong and you want to tell somebody and you're feeling yourself. And that's the Holy Spirit holding you back. That's that righteousness. No, I'm not going to share that. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to cover it in love and believe the best. Love covers a multitude of sin. He who brings up a matter separates, and you don't tell. That is doing righteousness, doing righteously. That you overcome evil with good, that you bless and do not curse, that you love, that you speak evil of no one, that you forgive freely, and if somebody brings it up, you know, I saw them, you say, oh no, come on, come on. Don't. That's all good. That's all good. They didn't mean it. Let's not hold that against them. It's all good. And when the enemy comes in attacking you with these thoughts of what they did, no, you say, Father, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You've loved me and I will love others with your love. You've forgiven me and I will forgive freely as you've forgiven me. I will be merciful as you've been merciful. Father, I'm here to represent not myself, but you. You see, doing righteously, living righteously, opens up the gates of glory in you and through you, and where God can begin to do signs and wonders in situations that are awaiting for this righteousness of God to come and heal and save and restore. Amen. Have a good day.